Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got David Adler back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. David is the producer of the PBS Nova documentary on behavioral finance. He's a contributing editor for Financial Planning Magazine and a number of other credentials that qualify him to write the book Snap Judgment, which is his new book out this year, Snap Judgment, When to Trust Your Instincts, When to Ignore Them, and How to Avoid Making Big Mistakes with Your Money, which is something I need to learn more about. David Adler, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. And also, you had an outstanding article in September, actually, I think it was, Market Watch, on what you, a title of the article was Survival of the Fattest.
Well, my argument in the article is that the current government in the U.S., or the whole economy, is helping the fattest to survive, not the fittest. So they're bailouts to the biggest, but not the best.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit more, because I agree with you, but you can explain it to us a lot more appropriately. Go ahead.
Sure. It's pretty simple. It's, you know, after the crash of last year, everyone was hoping there'd be market reform and that people who brought down the economy, they didn't have to be punished, but they'd be sidelined even after the bailouts. But it turns out those who are closest to the inside on the game, the biggest, have the mm-hmm. most political clout.
Yep.
So just when you're hoping for, you know, a new approach, it turns out that the old incumbents, people like GM, or Goldman Sachs, have enough political muscle to basically get government bailouts. So what's happening in the United States in darkest form is it's becoming, you know, it's the country where only the fattest survive, not the fittest.
And you arrived at this cynical evaluation, which I agree with you, and it does create cynicism, doesn't it? You arrived at this from studying what's going on, and there's some new evidence out, literally in the last two or three days, David. Here's a headline from one article: Goldman, Morgan, and J.P. Morgan, those three banks, all of which are the beneficiaries of the government bailout of AIG and themselves, right? They all took money from the government, right, David?
I don't know if Morgan did, if J.P. Morgan did. But in any case, they all did, if they didn't do it directly.
But they're all connected to the government getting involved. They all are basically, their lives, their balance sheets have been improved by the government getting involved, right?
Correct. Look, if the government had not bailed out AIG, Goldman would have gone under.
Exactly. But now, in that same world, in the last year or so, millions of small business owners have been hurt. Thousands have been put out of business. Jobs have been lost. But here's the headline: Goldman, Morgan, J.P. Morgan are planning $30 billion in bonuses this year. $30 billion with a B, David, for those three companies, for their people. 119,000 employees will receive those bonuses, and here's the other story, the rest of the story, David. That's the highest on record. The highest previous bonus combined for those three was $27 billion. Now, tell me what's wrong with that picture.
I'm basically speechless, but not surprised, because it just comes back to what I was saying, is that, remember, the original bailout, the idea was to help the economy, to help Main Street rather than Wall Street, which caused the crisis.
Yeah.
But in the end, only Wall Street has been helped.
That is exactly right. Absolutely exactly right. And Wall Street basically said, you know, was told, you know what, deal with it. Main Street was told, just deal with it.
Well, I think another thing that needs to be said is, everyone keeps talking about health care reform, but no one talks about the lack of reform of Wall Street. That
right.
Things are just going as they are. And there's a reason why there's lack of reform of Wall Street, which is that Wall Street does not want it. It makes more money doing business as it is today, where things are not regulated and murky. So I'm not saying a lot of libertarians would say we don't want any reforms, we just want the government out of the picture. Actually, in the case of Wall Street, the government needs to be in the picture to regulate banks so they don't take excessive risk.
But you're not. But you're not saying. Are you an advocate of what Chris Dodd is talking about by allowing the government to get more involved in scrutinizing the financial markets, especially being more involved with the Fed, having more control over the Fed? I want you to answer that question when we come back after these messages. Folks, this is a lot of this stuff is breaking news. It's happening right now. And you and I've got to get involved in this. We're going to have an opportunity to vote on people who are making these decisions. We need to know about this. This is important for our small businesses. 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. If you got 5 seconds, 15 seconds, or 15 minutes, we've got something you can do there on any topic under the small business sun. And you can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. Check out my blog. Check out our Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts in the universe. Not just on the planet, but in the universe. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, at Jim Blassingame. If you're over there, if you want to see what I'm up to, you can do that. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we've got David Adler back on the show. David is the author of Snap Judgment, which is an outstanding book on how to differentiate between research and your intuition. And when your intuition is usually, I mean, it might be good in some cases, but you got to be careful with it. And David, we're talking about some of the current events that are still unfolding that have to be juxtaposed against what happened last year, don't they?
They do, and where you left us is talking about Dodd and his efforts at reform.
Senator Chris Dodd, senior senator from Connecticut.
Well, again, I live in Connecticut, and there are posters everywhere saying dump Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever he's doing now, it's people will not forget his ties to Wall Street, and people are still angry.
What do you know about his ties to Wall Street?
I don't know his precise ties, but I know when people were trying to change, actually, Wall Street compensation reform, because people who got paid through hedge funds and private equity were actually taxed at a lower level. They claimed a lot of their compensation was
capital gains. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I believe, I can't prove it, he was one of the people that slowed down looking at that.
Right.
So he was on the industry side.
Well, isn't he seen as friends of Mozilla?
He was friends with everyone, but he's changing position now. But the point is,
he's trying to become a little more of a firebrand for regulation now, isn't he?
He is, but you
trying
know,
to redeem himself.
It's a little late.
Yeah.
As you know, the horses.
Well, plus the fact. See, this is the ugliest part about politics, David. He's been the way you characterized him a minute ago, which I think is accurate. But now that he realizes he's gotten himself into a bind in his own state, he's turning the other way, and he'll try to push things through that might not be the right thing for America, for his own political expediency. And folks, I don't mean to just be talking about Christopher Dodd. This is the way politics works these days, and it's ugly, David, and I don't like it.
It is ugly, and people, as you said, back to Connecticut, where Joe Lieberman has sort of a longer-term focus.
Lieberman, my hero.
Right, everyone else is scrambling. But for Dodd, we won't get, I mean, not everyone lives in Connecticut, but trust me, there are posters everywhere, big red posters, dump Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of regulation, my point is, it's not that the government has to excessively interfere, but it just has to set some ground rules. And if you set some ground rules, then the government doesn't have to interfere. And rather than kind of jumping in after things collapse, it'd be better to set some better ground rules.
Well, the marketplace has visited this pestilence upon itself, David, because when people ask me to give them You know, the elevator speech on how this happened, how we've come to this financial recession. This is not a, folks, this is not a recession like all the other recessions I've been involved in, where it was an asset-based recession. This is a financial recession. This is based on financial excesses on Main Street, on Wall Street, and in Washington. But what I've said, David, is that it was a combination, a perfect storm between excessive greed on Wall Street and too much leverage, incompetence on in Washington by our Congress, by our government, and number three, corruption between the two. I believe that. What do you think?
Sounds fair to me. I mean, I guess eventually it will come out who got paid what in Washington.
But do you think it will? Do you think we'll know?
Well, I think the bigger question is, rather than looking back, it's looking forward. It's who's getting paid now.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Back to the basic point of our conversation, which is why isn't the system being reformed? Why are the banks still allowed to have such huge bonuses?
$30 billion, folks. Did I mention that? $30 billion, a record bonus in three banks who benefited from the bailout this year. $30 billion, one-year bonuses. Did I mention that, David? Go ahead.
You did. So the point, the underlying point is there's this sort of new banking system based on derivatives, hedge funds. I mean, I don't believe in any case we should shut down that system. That's incorrect, but it just needs to be regulated just the way the regular...
But who needs to regulate? Should it be the Fed? Should it be the Treasury? Should it be Congress? What should it be? Who should regulate?
Maybe all of the three, but, you know, why not have one most responsible to voters, say Congress, set rules? I would say, to be candid, we need a new deal. That is, in the 1930s...
Oh, that's frightening terminology to me, David.
It may be frightening to you, but I'm not talking about bailouts and people being put to work. I'm talking about regulation of banking so that there can't be bankrupt, so banks are forced to have reserves so we don't have to bail them out.
How about just telling them that we're no longer going to have something? We're going to prevent you being too big to fail. How about that?
But that implies they're going to fail. So, I mean, why not make it
they did a year ago.
No, they did, but rather than too big to fail, so they'll be small and still fail, and then in the end, probably someone will still have to bail them out. So why not just say to them, look, you have to make less money and put more in reserves. We're going to force you to do that.
Increase their capital.
Yeah, and then we'll stay out of it.
Well, that would be a good way of doing it. That would be a mechanical way of doing it.
Yeah.
What would be the what would the people on the other side of that argument say about
that? Well, the bankers would say, well, we'll make less money then. So I think... For mechanisms we don't know about, I think
they'll make less money because they won't have as much. But won't that also cut back on capital availability to loan and to invest?
But right now there is cut back on capital availability.
Yeah, we've already got that, haven't we? Hold on to that thought, David Adler, folks. The book is called Snap Judgment. David's available wherever books are sold, isn't it?
It is, and there's a website, snapjudgmentbook.com.
Check it out. Right back after these messages. Tintail, stay with us.
Girl, to call my own, I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.